Shame and guilt are two emotions that often crop up for professional women when they're trying to navigate their career. But these two emotions aren't very much talked about in the career development space. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk to you a bit more about shame and guilt, why they're unproductive, how they can keep you from reaching your career goals, situations where they might come up, and how to navigate through these emotions when they do come up so you can actually reach your career goals of securing a fulfilling career while increasing your salary. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, and I share insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. Let's dive in. Hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. As usual, I'm happy to be here with you. If it's your first time here, if you're first time listening, welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast. Today, we're talking about emotions. Specifically, I'm talking about shame and guilt. Shame and guilt are two emotions that are very understated, I want to say. Like, that sounds weird because it's not that they're understated, it's that people often don't talk about them, but a lot of people struggle with them when they're trying to figure out their career move. And I'm speaking from experience, personal experience, and working with clients where I know that a lot of times when I work with women who have been trying to figure out their career, so you're unhappy at work, you know that the work you're doing isn't fulfilling, you know you need to do something else, and you're not quite sure what, but you've tried things, right? You've tried reading self-help books, taking free career tests, talking to mentors, maybe changing jobs, maybe working with the manager, whatever it may be, you have tried things to change your situation and it hasn't worked. Or maybe you've been thinking about changing your situation for a while, but because you don't know what action to take, you haven't tried anything, but you know that you should change your situation. And just the amount of energy and time that you have spent thinking about what else to do can make you feel unsuccessful in figuring out your career. And then what tends to happen, whether it's you've tried things to figure out or you've been thinking about it, but you don't know what you should do, what tends to then start creeping up is feeling shame for not being able to figure out your career on your own, or feeling guilty because you couldn't, or that you even want to make a career change. I've talked to so many women who have different thoughts that are masking shame and guilt. And I wanted to talk about both of those today because, like I said earlier, these are two emotions that are unproductive. Let me back up, because as a counselor, one thing I always tell my students, even in my job, is that emotions are not bad or good, right? Like, there's no emotion that is bad inherently. Let me just say emotions are neutral. Our reactions to them is what then can be moralized, if I was going to put a word to it. So let me not say that they're unproductive. Let me say that these are two emotions that tend to lead to unproductive behaviors. Because shame and guilt are two emotions that we often don't enjoy feeling or experiencing, the behaviors that come as a result of us feeling shame or guilt are usually unproductive. So now let's make sure we are on the same page. When I say shame and guilt, what am I talking about? Okay. Shame is when you feel like there is something wrong with you inherently, when you feel like you are the problem or you are a problem. And usually when you start feeling shame, you also start thinking that you're not worthy of career fulfillment, or that maybe you don't deserve achieving your goals, achieving your dreams, getting into a career that you find fulfilling. Essentially, shame can make you feel unworthy of pursuing the thing that you really desire. Guilt, on the other hand, guilt is when you feel like you have done something wrong, right? So shame is you feel like you're the problem. I'm bad. I'm not good enough. Something's wrong with me. Guilt is tied to the behavior. I have done something wrong. I did the wrong thing. I took the wrong action. And usually when you start feeling guilt around not being able to figure out your own career, it can make you feel stuck, or it can lead to you being stuck. Now, you don't take any action because the guilt is weighing you down. You start to think that, you know what? I already failed. I'm already not good enough. I couldn't do it. I've taken the wrong action. I don't want to take more bad actions. So you just don't take any action when you feel guilt. Why exactly are both of these emotions unproductive, right? So before I talk about how they show up, let's just clear the air and say, why do they lead to unproductive behaviors? Well, first, they're both emotionally draining. Okay. Like I said earlier, shame and guilt are not comfortable emotions for us to hold and feel and navigate. We don't like to sit with those emotions. And so when we feel shameful or feel guilty about something or about a situation, in this case, about our career and our inability to figure out our next career move, it is draining to try to hold those emotions, to try to suppress them, to try to navigate them. Whatever way you choose to process them, it is draining. And so because it's draining, instead of spending your energy taking action towards changing your career situation, you're spending your energy just trying to carry these feelings, right? Just trying to still function while feeling these feelings, just trying to put on a good front in some cases while feeling these feelings. And that is exhausting and doesn't leave you with any energy to try to navigate your career transition. The second thing about both of these emotions that cause them to lead to unproductive behaviors is that shame and guilt can reinforce false negative beliefs that you have about yourself. Your thoughts are so powerful. Your beliefs are so, so powerful. And I'm going to talk a bit later about the beliefs underlying these emotions, but I've talked about this at length in different places that I provide content. I am a cognitive behavioral person. I believe strongly that your thoughts impact your emotions, which impacts your behavior. That's from the counseling lens. But as a Christian, I also know that the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the heart of a man, do words flow? Does his character flow? I paraphrased a bit there, but the Bible is clear that our thoughts are also powerful. Our thoughts are essentially who we are. Our thoughts shape where we go. As a matter of fact, I visited a new church today. I'm visiting churches and there was a guest speaker and he said, I'm going to go look for it. But he was talking about how, you know, like we're all sinners. And there's a Bible verse that essentially says, if you think a foul thought, something like that, if you think a bad thought, that is already sin. And again, I'm paraphrasing that one because I just heard it today. But my point is, your thoughts, your belief systems are powerful. I have seen it in myself time and time again, not to mention how many clients I've just seen their trajectory change when we addressed their beliefs. So to my point about why do shame and guilt lead to unproductive behaviors? Well, you already are feeling like either you're wrong or you've done something wrong. So when those emotions set in, they reinforce thoughts that you don't deserve a fulfilling career. They reinforce thoughts that you're not good enough for a fulfilling career. And that can keep you from taking action towards actually changing your career situation. And then finally, both of those things, right? The emotional drain, the energy drain, and the reinforcement of negative beliefs can then lead to this cycle of inaction. You don't like your job. You need to do something else, but you believe that you don't deserve a good job. So you don't take action, which makes you feel stuck and unhappy. So then you feel unhappy again. You know, I don't need to keep repeating myself at this point. Like, it's a vicious cycle of knowing that something needs to change, but not feeling good enough. And so you don't take action. So nothing changes. So then you know something needs to change over and over again. And that just leads to even more energy exhaustion. So, as we used to say when I was on the debate team in high school, at this point, I hope I've been able to convince you and not confuse you that shame and guilt are not productive emotions to try to wrangle. I don't know why that just, like, literally, I just remembered saying that in high school when I was on the debate team. But now that I've said those, now let's get into the two emotions. Let me talk a bit more about what are some of the thoughts that lead to feeling shame, and then we'll do guilt after, and how do you navigate or work through those emotions? So the first situation that I've seen lead women to experience shame when they couldn't figure out their career is pretty much the idea that they couldn't figure it out on their own. Like, one thing I say, and I've said this to my email list a couple of times, high achieving women struggle the most with making a career change. The most. Because when you're a high achieving woman, like you're used to being capable, being competent, figuring out the answers, finding solutions, knowing how to fix things. If you can't do it yourself, you know where to find the solution. Like you're used to excelling. And then you end up in a situation where you're unhappy in your career. You need to do something about it, but you have no idea what to do. It can feel extremely defeating because now you start thinking, I should be smart enough to figure out my career on my own. Everyone else seems to be able to do their career except me. I should know how to do this. I should be able to find a solution. I should know what my next career move is. I should be able to make a career change on my own. And I'm like, girl, first of all, throw all those shoulds out the window. I hate that word, even when I use it to myself. Because here's what I always like to ask. Whenever I hear somebody say, I should do anything, my very first question, why should you? Like, give me an actual reason why you should. And so if you're thinking, I should be smart enough to figure out my next career move on my own, then my question for you is, why should you? Who has taught you how to figure out your career? Who has taught you how to make a career change? Who has taught you how to align your values, interests, and skills with your career decision making? Now, I mean, if you're one of my clients and you're listening to this, I've taught you that at this point. But for most women, for most people, nobody has ever sat you down and said, this is how you make career choices that are aligned with the lifestyle you desire. So why should you magically know how to do it? Like, it would be like me saying, I'm not smart enough because I don't know how to do brain surgery. Girl, I ain't go to medical school. I ain't never done a surgery before in my life. So why should I know how to do brain surgery? But that's how we feel about our career decision, as if career development is not an entire area of expertise on its own. Like, it is. I'm going to get in my soapbox a little bit here, but I know it is because this is what I research for a living in my role as a faculty. I research career development. There are theories around career development. There's a ton of research that goes into career decision making about how career impacts mental health. I teach 3 different classes at the master's and PhD level on career development. It is an area of expertise on its own. But because we all have a career, for some reason, and I was about to say, because we all have a career, we automatically think we should know how to fix it. But then I stopped myself because I'm like, no, we also all have bodies. But when I get sick, I go to a doctor. When something's wrong, I call urgent care. Right. So that's why I stopped that train of thought, because even that doesn't make sense. But for some reason with our careers, there's just this sense of shame that can set in when you couldn't figure it out on your own. And that feeling is even worse if you're someone who usually is like a problem solver. You usually just, you can handle things. That feeling of not being good enough can be stronger for you if you're used to solving problems. So for this, if this first pool of thought, the train of thought is you, if that sounds like you, where this is why you have struggled with shame is because you feel like you should know how to navigate your career on your own. The easy way to navigate that thought and the emotion is recognizing that career development is an entire area of expertise. It's just not your area of expertise. Your area of expertise is engineering, teaching, accounting, program management, school psychology, school counseling, HR, but I'm thinking of all the different women I've worked with, you know, strategic development. Like those are your areas of expertise. It's not career decision making. So don't feel shame that you couldn't figure it out on your own because you can figure everything else in your life. I'm sure that you, if this is aligning with you, if you're like, this is totally me. I bet you when you have had other areas where you knew that you weren't an expert, you don't have problem tapping into help. Whether it's going to a doctor or getting an accountant or a financial advisor or a realtor or an interior designer for your house. Like there have probably been other areas of your life that you said, this is out of my wheelhouse. And because I like to be efficient with my time, I'm not going to waste time trying to figure this out on my own and will hire an expert. Same thing here. Don't feel shame. Get help. Okay? Okay. The second situation that can lead to you feeling shame is maybe you did try to take action. So you've actually changed jobs maybe a couple of times. I've had a few women that I've worked with who are in this situation where you've changed jobs a couple of times, but you haven't enjoyed those jobs either. I'm thinking very clearly about one woman I worked with a couple of years ago who was in accounting. And by the time she worked with me, she had been in 3 different accounting roles within about a year and a half. And I think the first one, I'm trying to remember the story back clearly, but the first one was maybe she had been about 8 months, the second job about 6 months. And I remember this one clearly, the last job that made her come to work with me, she had only been in that job for 3 months. And this point was when she knew, she was like, hold on, I keep getting into new accounting roles, but I keep being unhappy. It's not working. I need to get help. And when we worked together, she got help. She figured out her next career move. Boom, bam, done. Some women don't get to that point of I need help. Really, where they end up, what I've seen happen is I tried and I failed. So I'm not good enough. I'm the problem. Because I have changed jobs a couple of times, something's wrong with me. I'm never going to find a fulfilling career. I just can't figure this out. And it's like, okay, you, first of all, this is something I teach in my program all the time. Let's just reshape your relationship with failure. You are not a failure because you changed careers and you still hated the job or it didn't work out. You just tried something else and it didn't work out. It's neutral. You have data. Now you know what not to do in the future. Now you know what you don't like. Okay. You are not a failure. You tried something. It didn't work out, period. You thinking you're a failure is you attaching emotions to a situation that is emotionally neutral. Career change. You change careers. You don't like the environment. Okay. Now let's do something different moving forward. And then what you have to then realize, and this is a little bit tied to that first one, was how can you be a failure if you made a decision based on the information or the data that you had at the time? My guess is going to be that when you chose what job to go into next, you maybe thought about what you didn't like, where you've been good in the past, and you said, you know what? This sounds like a good idea. I'm going to go in this direction. You made the best decision you could at the time. You hadn't worked with a career coach like me who had to tell you that, you know what, no, we need to talk about your values first and then your interests and then your skills before we can figure out what you'll enjoy, right? Maybe you hadn't gotten help on how to research roles and how to audit companies so you don't get catfished by an organization. You didn't have all that data. So at the time, you made the best decision you could have made with the information you had. So again, you're not a failure. You tried your best. As a matter of fact, I usually like to say, if you already made a change, even if it didn't work out, you are a lot more courageous than majority of people out there. Because most people wouldn't even have made that attempt to change their situation. They would have said, it's too risky. It's too unknown. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But you prioritize your joy and fulfillment so much that you actually took action. I applaud you for that. Like, that is the first step. You had that desire for fulfillment. So you took action. You're not a failure. You just desire fulfillment so much that you were willing to take action. Then the third situation that can lead to you feeling shame is when you get to that point where you realize that you need professional help, right? You've tried things on your own and you're like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I can't figure this out on my own. I need to hire someone. And for some people, that thought, that feeling of needing to hire someone can lead to feeling shame. I'll give an example for me recently, and it's not career related, but the emotions are the same. First of all, like, don't drag me if like you have thoughts about this, but I haven't had a primary care provider in, I kid you not, maybe 8 years, 7 or 8 years. Like, no lie. I just never got around to it. I moved. I said I would. I literally, it stayed on my list of things to do for years. And I just finally was like, whatever. And then I finally, if you remember, I shared in a few episodes back how I did an eye test because things were blurry and I realized that I needed glasses, which changed my life. Like, literally, you should go find that episode. I think it's something like, I'll link it in the show notes. I talked about just, are you settling? Lexa, have you been settling in your career? That's the name of the episode. I don't remember the number. I think it's episode 63. I'm going to look it up while I'm talking to you. But while I'm looking it up, I'm going to multitask. I'm usually not good at that, but I'm going to try. So anyway, while my eye test was being done, the doctor at some point actually, like, she had a machine, looked at my eyes, and she was like, well, how, I don't even remember how she asked it. Something like, do you have high cholesterol? Something like that. And I was like, no. Or maybe it was, do you have a primary care provider? I think it was, do you have a primary care provider? I was like, no, I don't. And she's like, okay, you might want to get some. I see some cholesterol deposits in your eye. You need to get that checked. Ooh, if I had like a shaking, like make the video shake right now, like that's how I felt. I was freaked out. So I was like, wait, what do you mean by cholesterol in my mind? I think I was freaked out because I'm a healthy person generally. Like, I try not to eat too much junk. I work out minimum at least 4 times a week, if not more. Like, I really try to stay healthy. Granted, I've been, you know, getting a little bit on the chunky side for myself, but I was like, you know what? I literally said, oh, you know, I'm just getting old. Maybe it's harder, but at least I'm working out. I'm healthy. So it's whatever. My body just wants to be this way. So anyway, I found a PCP because I was like, okay, let me just get it checked. Found a PCP and did a blood test. I told her why I came. Come to find out, your girl has high cholesterol. LDL specifically. And I was so shocked because, like I said, I'm generally a healthy person. But not just that, I remember, like, I think because I'm a counselor, these things don't stay long. I feel it and then I immediately self-coach myself out of it. But there was a moment of shame for me, like a very small moment where it was like, you knew something was wrong because you were gaining weight, your clothes didn't quite fit right, you just kept saying, oh, it's just age, your metabolism is slowing down, you're making excuses, but something's got to give. Okay. And I think because I was not, like, by societal standards, even at me gaining weight, I still looked good, right? Like, I still looked healthy. I looked fit. So it wasn't really a problem. So there was a little bit of shame because I knew I should have changed something, but I didn't. And I needed somebody else to tell me before I took it seriously. But, and this is sort of, maybe I'm getting you to the strategy now, I very quickly changed that thought because I know that when a thought is unproductive, it leads to unproductive behavior. And I was like, you know what? No, this is why the doctor's here. Now I know that I have habits that I need to change, which really I needed to stop eating plantain chips and chin chin. Those are two Nigerian snacks that are fried, like these are fried snacks, and I was terrible. I'm getting distracted. But my point is, I realized that no, I needed an expert to tell me there was a problem. And so now that I see the problem, I can change my behavior. Happy to share. And then this past summer, your girl has lost at least 4 pounds. I'm still working on it. I'm very proud of myself. But my point is that I didn't sit in that shame. I didn't stew in that shame and say, oh, I'm terrible. I didn't take care of myself. I'm not healthy. No, I recognized that I had been doing the best that I could at the time. Yes, I made some excuses, but now that I know better, I'm going to do better. And needing a doctor to tell me that doesn't mean anything is wrong with me. It just meant I needed someone with expertise to look at a deeper level and say, you know what? No, something's wrong here. We do need to fix it. Now, I haven't gone back to get retested. I need to. I just assumed that my weight was the thing because everything else they say, I was like, I work out, I eat healthy, I don't eat red meat. So I don't know what the problem is. I just assumed it was my weight. So pray for me that when I go back to get tested, my LDL has gone down. Anyway, I just sidetracked majorly, but I hope you got the point there. And the episode is episode 70. So I was looking at it this whole time. Episode 70, have you been settling in your career? Do a career test. I talked about my whole eyesight journey. Let me bring it back. If you're still listening, thank you, because I just went on a big sidebar there. But really what I wanted to share there, the point there was that needing an expert to help you, needing professional help doesn't mean something is wrong with you. It just means you recognize that there are limits to your knowledge. There are limits to your expertise and that you value your time, your energy, your life even in this situation. Yes, next week I'm dropping an episode telling you how your unfulfilling job might be ruining your health. So yes, when I say your life, this is life or death situation. You can save yourself time, energy by just going to someone who knows what they're doing, who has done it before, who has proven methods, who has tools to help you save time and energy to still get to the result that you want to get to. And then the fourth situation that I've seen lead to shame, and this is for a specific type of woman. So I'm speaking to you if you, and I've worked with a few women in this category where it almost feels like your career is all you have. Maybe you're single, don't have kids. You've poured yourself, your heart, your soul, your mind into your career, and you don't enjoy what you're doing. Your career doesn't feel good. You don't feel like you're living to your full potential or that you're being valued. You don't feel like you're getting paid what you should be getting paid. And it makes you sad, right? Like your career is making you feel crappy about yourself and your life situation, and it makes you feel sad. And what I've seen happen, like literally, I've had women who are crying because of how sad it makes them, the state of their career, but then they feel ashamed for the tears. And I'm like, no, honey, don't feel ashamed. First of all, I'm a counselor. Like, tears are my currency. I'm not scared of your tears. But two, it makes perfect sense that it makes you sad. This is where you spend most of your waking hours. This is where you have poured time, energy, maybe money into, and it's not working out. You don't feel good. You don't feel valued. That is a sad situation to be in. And tears are a normal response to feeling sad. There's nothing wrong with your sadness. There's no need to feel shame for it. Like, give yourself that grace of recognizing that, no, I'm in a situation that is making me sad because this is not the life I envisioned for myself. This is not the career that I dreamed of for myself. And things are not working out the way I wanted them to. Feeling sad, crying, that's not a reason to feel ashamed. It's really not. It's a natural response to being in a situation that isn't working out for you. And so instead of feeling shame when those tears come or the sadness comes, how about you acknowledge and validate the fact that your emotions, that sadness, those tears, that's a sign that something needs to change. Like, that's your sign that something has got to give in your career, because you don't want to keep being in this situation where you feel sad and miserable and unhappy. Like those tears are telling you something. Instead of trying to pull them back because you're ashamed of them, listen to them. What is leading to these tears? What needs to change? What do I need to do differently? And then take the right action to change the situation. So that's shame. Four situations that I've seen lead to shame and sort of like the thoughts that drive them. Now let's talk about guilt and how guilt can show up. The first situation that I've seen lead to guilt is feeling like if you make a career change, you will have wasted all the time, energy, skills, whatever it may be that you have invested in your career so far. So let's say you've tried to figure out your career on your own and things haven't worked out. And now it's like, okay, you know what? Maybe this is just a sign that I'm not even meant to make a change. And if I do, I will lose everything that I've worked for. This usually I see happens for women who have been working in the same industry or the same field for more than 8 years. Like, you have invested over 8 years into your career. The idea of doing something differently can feel like you're wasting all that time so far. And when I hear this one, what I want you to recognize is that you are a fallen victim to what we call the sunk cost fallacy. So the sunk cost fallacy is this idea, and it can apply to anything in life. Shoot, it applies to me when I'm playing Candy Crush sometimes. But sunk cost fallacy is where you're so focused on what you have invested into something, like what you've invested in the past. You're so focused on that, that you lose sight of what it is costing you now and what you will gain in the future if you change your situation. So in this case, you're so focused on the time, the skills, the money you've invested in your career so far that you are losing sight of the fact that right now it's costing you physically, it's costing you mentally, it's costing you in your confidence, it's costing you in your joy, it's costing you in your relationships. And the fact that when you make a change, you will probably start making more money, feel better about yourself, do more meaningful work, contribute better to society. Like, you're not thinking of that. You're just focused on what you have invested in the past. That is the sunk cost fallacy. Like, you believe that all the things, the costs that you have put in the past are like you sunk so much into it that you can't let go of this thing. But you're holding tight to those investments is costing you now and in the future. Not to mention the fact that it's false. Like, when it comes to a career change, it's false. It's false because when you make a career change, you don't just magically lose all the skills you've developed. No, those are the very things that make you qualified and make you a great candidate for the next thing you're going to go into. So when you start feeling guilty because you feel like, oh, if I leave, it would have been like I'm betraying myself, I'm betraying my career so far, I'm wasting everything. Just remember that no, you're not. Being in an unfulfilling job is costing you right now, and you're losing out on the future the longer you stay in that unfulfilling career. The other situation that can lead to you feeling guilt when trying to figure out your career and you don't know how to figure it out is when you think that even trying to make this change is going to jeopardize your family's finances. Right? It can be this thought of, if I make a career change. I might end up taking a pay cut and my family can't afford that. We are either a single income household, I'm the breadwinner, or I'm contributing to a two income household and I just can't afford to shake up our finances right now. Like just that thought of jeopardizing the financial stability of your family. And I've even heard some women of themselves, right? I've had some single women who have said to me, I'm the only one. Like, I can't afford to take a pay cut because nobody else is contributing to my home. I'm taking care of myself. So I need to make a certain amount of money because I don't have anybody else's salary to fall back on. So it goes both ways. When I say your family finances, it could be you. You can be your family, or you have kids you're taking care of, or a partner and kids, whatever it is. The point is you're worried about destabilizing finances. And the idea of making a change makes you feel guilty because you think that change will destabilize your family's finances. Well, what I've noticed is usually when you are in this situation, you are falling prey to the thought that making a career change means you have to take a pay cut. And making a career change usually only means you have to take a pay cut when you're going into it without a clear plan. Like when you haven't really mapped out what is the runway that I even have financially to do this? What do I need to survive? What is my minimum? Like, I'm not going for a job that's offering below this. Like in my program, I call it your walkaway number. Like when you have a clear plan, you'll know that you can make a career change without destabilizing your family's finances because finances will inform the decision that you're making in your career. Like I actually teach this in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. I teach a career transition model called TRIAGE, your transition plan, and TRIAGE is an acronym, but the A stands for audit your finances. Because one thing about me, like I say this very often to women who are about to work with me, is I don't like women to be in a position of financial desperation because then you start making really bad choices for you and your career. And so, yes, that guilt is going to come up, but recognize that if you have a clear, solid plan of action, you can, in fact, make a career change without jeopardizing your finances. The third situation where I've seen guilt come up, and I'm going to be honest right now, with this one, I tend to get a little bit spicy and blunt because, let me just say, I understand it. I just have a very strong opinion about it, which is why I get spicy, okay? But when you feel like you're being disloyal to your organization by making a career change, that can then lead to guilt, right? I'm going to leave my team in a lurch. My team will not be able to function without me. This company has been so good to me that leaving them feels bad. They have invested in me. I don't want to leave them in a lurch. And I'm like, honey, girl, that company, like I will put money on this. Girl, they are not loyal to you. So why are you trying to be loyal to them? Like I can probably count on one hand how many times I've heard of an organization that is genuinely loyal to the individuals in the organization. Usually they're loyal to their bottom line, as they should be. Their bottom line is their priority. But guess what? You are also a CEO. You are the CEO of your career. So when you are making decisions, it should not be based on the company. It should be based on your company that is your career. And so if to further your career, you need to develop knowledge, skills, whatever it may be outside of the organization you're in right now, girl, so be it. Because I promise you, if you die tomorrow, they will replace you in 1 week flat, maybe two. They'll grieve you, but they'll replace you. You are replaceable. Everybody's dispensable. And so you're out here feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be disloyal to my organization, but girl, stop that. I'm being dramatic. But so I'm hot about this because I've heard this from so many women. I'm like, I need you to recalibrate your mind. Your organization is not loyal to you. You do not owe them loyalty. Do you owe them good work? Yes. If they are paying you well, you should show up in excellence and do good work, which is the other reason why this loyalty one to me is like, it doesn't make sense. I'll be candid. Because you're unhappy in your career. Like you are not thriving. You're not showing up in excellence, but you're staying just to be loyal. But because you're not happy, you are not giving them your best. You're not showing up in excellence. You're coasting. You're bored. You're unmotivated. You're not doing good work. So the company that you're trying to stay loyal to is suffering because you're not giving them good work. Who's benefiting from this situation? Nobody. Not you, not the organization. And so, yes, I understand they've been good to you. They've treated you well. Girl, they were supposed to do that anyway. But if you're not happy, you need to leave so that you can create space for somebody else who will truly value the company and show up and do good work for them, but also allows you to do meaningful work that makes you feel good so you can actually show up in excellence at work and in your personal life. So instead of feeling guilty because you think you're being disloyal to your organization, recalibrate that thought. If I'm not happy, I'm not doing good work. So it's time for me to either change my attitude and do good work. But if I can't do that because I'm fundamentally not happy, then I need to leave, create space for somebody else to do good work for this organization that I want to be loyal to while I figure out what's best for my career. I told you I was going to get a bit spicy there. I hope if that one applied to you, just know that the spiciness truly was from a good place, like a good place in my heart. I really want as many women as possible to be fulfilled in the work that they're doing. Okay, so now the final situation that can lead to feeling guilt is thinking or feeling bad for wanting a better job because other people don't even have any job at all. Right? Like this usually sounds like I should just be grateful. At least I have a job. I feel guilty. Some people out there don't have a job. And my first question is, how does you staying in a job that's making you miserable help the random people out there who don't have a job? I mean, like, 1 + 1 is not equaling 2 in this situation because those two things are not even connected. But like, you being unhappy in your career is not going to magically provide jobs for the people who don't have a job out there in the world. And so using that as a crutch to stay in a situation that is slowly killing you and your relationships is not logical. That's the nicest way I can say that. That is not a logical way to make decisions in this situation. But I've heard it so much. I should just be grateful that I have a job. I feel so bad for even wanting something. At least I have my bills paid. At least I have a job. Some people out there have been laid off. They don't have a job. And mind you, this is not to be callous to those people. Like, I work regularly with women who have been laid off to try to help get them back on their feet. My point is that you don't even know the people you're thinking about. Like, you're saying people don't have a job. Who? Give me a name. Who are you thinking about? Like, is somebody going to magically get a job just because you stayed in a situation that's draining you physically, mentally, and emotionally? No, they're not. So, like, I understand where it's coming from. I understand the guilt. I just want you to know, with as much love as I can convey through the microphone and the camera, that line of thinking is not serving you and it's not logical. Okay, so instead of thinking that way, I invite you to consider how you're actually doing society a disservice when you stay in that job you hate. Because when you are doing miserable work, there's just no way in the world you're showing up in excellence. Your loved ones are suffering. Your coworkers are suffering. Your family's suffering because you're more impatient. You have less energy. You're more snarky. Like, you're not showing up as the best version of you when you spend all your waking hours doing work that you don't like. So you would do society more of a service if you actually took a step back, think about what it is you don't like about your job, get clear about what you want to do next, create a plan and change your career situation, right? Like, stop using strangers that you don't know as a reason to stay miserable. Stop it. So there you have it. Shame, guilt, when they show up, what makes them unproductive. I hope you found this helpful today. I got spicy a couple of times. I'm not going to lie. I did. But some topics just get me hot. And I hope that you still receive the message with an open heart. I hope that you receive the message that you deserve better. Like, underline all of this. That's really what I'm trying to say, is you are worthy of a fulfilling career. Being miserable at work should not be your norm. Don't let your emotions falsely keep you in a situation that isn't serving you or the people that you love. Okay. And as usual, if you found this episode helpful, please hit the like and subscribe button if you are watching on YouTube, and leave us a review or a rating if you're listening on a podcast platform, because it truly does help the podcast grow. I hope you found this episode helpful, and I will catch you on the next episode.